CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor. The state of Brandenburg, wrapped around Berlin, I learned from Judy Dempsey of Carnegie in Europe. And Carnegie in Europe is watching something that all of Germany is watching, that eventually all of America will watching. There's a change in the wind in Germany. The banking and manufacturing engine of the European Union these many decades is right now reacting to a vote that came very close to upsetting everything about the status quo in the coalition government that rules Berlin. Brandenburg, the little rural state of Brandenburg. What happened? Judy, a very good evening to you. I don't want to say this because I get the nuance wrong, and you understand we have one very small party associated with a senior female, Wagenknecht. We have one slightly larger party called AfD, Alternative for Deutschland. And then we have the giant Social Democrats led by Olaf Scholz, the Chancellor of all Germanys. And everybody's rattled. What has happened, Judy?
What is happening is that the outcome of an election in Brandenburg, which normally should be just so provincial and so local and so irrelevant, has become a serious harbinger of things to come for next year's federal elections that will take place a year from now. This is because it ended up being an incredible contest, a tactical contest, a polarized context between the incumbent Social Democrats, which have ruled, governed this state since East German, former East German states since German reunification, and the anti-immigrant, pro-Russian, anti-American, anti-asylum party, the Alternative for Deutschland. And the head of the SPD, Dietmar Woidke, spelled it out clearly. You vote for me, and if you don't, and if I don't get it, I resign. Or it's the AfD. And what happened was that the established party shifted to the SPD to keep out the AfD. This is really very, very important. But the AfD, you know, they just got 1% vote below the SPD. They're on a roll. And more importantly, so is this far left-wing party, the Sarah Wagenknecht party, which is very far left. That's on a roll as well. She's going to be the queen maker in the next coalition in Brandenburg.
So this touches the national elections, which come next year. But in the meantime, Olaf Scholz is reacting now, or must react now, because of what is the driver? Is it the war in Ukraine? Is it the economy? Is it immigration? I understand it's all three, but is there one that takes the lead for these switching votes?
Well, let's take them one by one. It's certainly the economy. It's lagging behind. It's very slow. There's a housing crisis. There's a school crisis. There's not enough teachers. The health system is floundering. And Scholz, instead of investing seriously in this kind of infrastructure, is bailing out companies that simply won't innovate and deal with AI and deal with digitalization. We're talking about the car industry, the powerful car industry, the powerful chemicals industry, but particularly the car industry, which has so many connections with politics. So Scholz is looking backwards instead of looking forwards. And this is a liability for him.
And then we come to immigration. The decision by Angela Merkel in 2015, I believe, to be generous towards the refugees fleeing the crisis in the Middle East, which continues. That is the major driver, from my point of view, reading it over on this side of the Atlantic, for this turmoil in German politics. Is it still continuing? That's now nearly 10 years. Have things calmed down? Because I get reports now, Judy, that the Polizei are questioning young men on train depots, and if they don't have the right documents, they're escorted to the police station. Has this always been going on for 10 years, or is this Scholz's new way?
There's a difference now. The 2015 decision by Angela Merkel to bring in 1 million refugees fleeing the war in Syria, that's over. That's completely different. What's happening now is a combination of illegal immigration and controlled immigration. Some of it is legal, but the processing of asylum procedures is so slow, and the EU wanted it to take place in the countries where the would-be asylum seekers come from. But it's incredibly bureaucratic, but there's unbelievable amounts of trafficking. Illegal trafficking coming in across the borders, whether it's from the Western Balkans and particularly from Poland. And because of the AfD using the anti-immigration card, and indeed Wagenknecht's party as well, and indeed the CDU, I mean the general public, they want some kind of action on how to stop the illegal immigration and the smuggling. And so Scholz's reaction was, oh, slap on border controls along Germany's 7 or 8 countries that it borders with. And it's now implemented, and it's undermining, of course, the EU's fundamental architecture of the Schengen Agreement 1995, which actually gave EU citizens unhindered access to cross border to cross borders. There were no borders. But now the border controls are being reintroduced. Immigration is the issue, not only for Germany, but for France, for the Netherlands, for Italy, for Spain, and for other countries.
Does Scholz have an answer other than this bureaucratic answer, or a bow to the EU? Is he coming forward with new policies, or is he on the defensive only?
Well, it seems to me, sitting in Berlin, that he's certainly on the defensive. The EU did come up with a migration package a couple of months ago, saying that migrants reaching Europe, there should be a kind of solidarity clause in the sense that all the member states, if they don't want to take in and give protection to the asylum seekers and the refugees, at least they should contribute to fund for their upkeep. But, you know, it doesn't seem to be happening. The numbers are unequal. They swell depending on the time of the year. They go down. But it is such a major issue now because of the knife attacks, because of some terrorist attacks, because of instability, insecurity. Scholz isn't really speaking out and saying what should be done. He's reacting by closing the borders as much as he can, but reacting is not enough. Germany must come up with very, very clear policies. And the fact that Germany doesn't come up with clear policies actually shows the German ambivalence towards really coming up with an agenda for the European Union.
One more puzzle about immigration. The votes, Thuringia, Saxony, and Brandenburg, all east since the reunion of the two East and West. Is this reason to believe that it will continue with the rise of AfD and Wagenknecht when the state elections are in the West, the original West Germany? Is that going to be the same trend?
I think this is a really interesting question. It's very easy to say we don't know, but Wagenknecht taps into the far left, which has a resonance in parts of the Western German states. The AfD has its roots. They're not deep, but they are in parts of Western Germany as well. But no matter what happens in the Western German states, if they continue to vote for the established parties, and I cannot really see this happening to the full extent as before, what's happening is that the eastern states do have an influence. They do have an impact. They do show that actually their kind of votes can spill over to the West. This is going to be a very, very interesting few months in order for the established party, the Social Democrats and the Christian Democrats and the Greens to reestablish their credentials. They don't have much time, and it's very hard to know how they're going to do this.
I'm speaking with Judy Dempsey. She's writing at Carnegie Europe for the vote that we just witnessed in Brandenburg. There are three issues. We've touched on two of them, the economy and the immigration. And then there's the war. Very hard to see, but Germany has been hard hit by the war because it abandoned, we thought, its Ostpolitik of many decades, very successful for German manufacturing. And now, this is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor.
Stay tuned for more of CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.
Chances are, you've been to the doctor recently, and you probably handed over your insurance, your ID, and even your Social Security number. Your doctor is just one of many places that has your personal info. And if any of them accidentally expose your details, you could be at risk for identity theft. LifeLock monitors millions of data points a second. If you become a victim, they'll fix it, guaranteed, or your money back. Save up to 40% your first year. Call 1-800-LIFELOCK and use promo code IHEART or go to LifeLock.com/iHeart for 40% off. Terms apply.